Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and Hustle podcast. Look, we are live from Mexico and
Oma.
Oh my, there we go. Exotic. So yeah, look, we don't really have much of a I've got a bit of an idea on a topic that I wouldn't mind expanding on and diving into in a little bit more depth, and I think Mickey will enjoy this one. But we'll start off with just the basis. We were just talking off screen. Mickey was asking me what is the plan with what the fuck I'm doing. So I'm sure you've seen the first reel of me and Marcus Philly, did you know?
Yeah, with the beer, the Bud Light beer. Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's so well edited, isn't it? It's
mental. It's very funny, very funny.
It was like a small movie or something. It was mad. As soon as I seen it, I was like, holy fuck.
It's funny because it's weird. It's getting weird for me because I've been following Marcus Philly for so long. Like,
yeah.
I always liked the way he done, because he was a CrossFitter, but he always had that like bodybuilder hybrid kind of style of training. And that's sort of stuff that I, in my head, it's in my head, I think that suits me best, but it probably doesn't. But I lie to myself enough that it does. But when I see Tony off my, I'm just thinking, fuck, that's some buzz. Like,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. A lot of people message me like, does that feel like a pinch me moment? Because he was a CrossFit Games athlete, I think, in like 13, 14, 15, 16. And like,
yeah,
he finished like top 15 one of the times. So like, he's, and that was that, like, I'm not saying during the peak, but that was during like the real come up in CrossFit. Like, it was during like the time it was really getting mainstream. And I even seeing the photos of him back then, holy fuck, he was massive. Like, but it's very interesting, very, very interesting. But yeah, it was a good experience. I never thought when I went out to Texas, I'd end up in San Fran. And then whenever I went to San Fran, I didn't know if I'd end up in Mexico. We just sort of winged it there. And then Daniel is about another week now, maybe 10 days. And then he's away home and I'm debating. I have multiple options now. So I went to Sao Paulo or Rio to do a collab with a chef.
Sao Paulo or Rio?
That's Leo. Leo's got like, he's a Brazilian. He's got like 900. He's a proper Michelin star like restaurant owner. So like, it's all metal stuff, and he wanted me down for a laugh. So I said I might take a spin down. He said he'd take me down. So there's that. That's option one. Option two is going to JPG in the States on the East Coast. And then option three is, anybody that doesn't know JPG is like a fitness person like I am, very, very intelligent. I've got a third option in the States, which I haven't confirmed yet if possible. And the fourth option is stay here or fifth, go to Colombia. My content, and the funniest thing is, like, don't get me wrong, I'm enjoying the traveling, but I enjoy it everywhere. So the main thing I'm sort of letting guided is how the content's doing, which sounds odd, but it's a business move then, and that way it's taking emotion out of it, because they're all going to work well. I'm going to get to see everywhere. I think from a standpoint of what I'd like to see, I'd probably like to see Colombia or Brazil most.
Yeah.
But I also think like, it's not really my audience. It's not really the right probably move in that sense. But that's probably the place I would go if none of the rest mattered. I think from a logical standpoint, I'm probably getting the best of both worlds if I stay here for a little bit longer, because it's got like that mix of Central Southern America with the North probably interaction. And if I do stay here, I'll probably fly my sister out to help with content. But that'll be the rough game. But it all comes down to how content's bringing. Since I got to Mexico, which is so funny, Texas, my views weren't great. San Fran, they picked up, and as soon as I go to Mexico, touch wood, it's starting to slap now. So that's what the basis is on. So if it continues to slap here, I won't move and ruin a good thing for how much I've worked for, which is very interesting that's how I'm based the travel.
Why do you think it's slapping now in Mexico compared to, say, Texas or San Fran?
So me, I didn't really post much with Mark. So there's multiple reasons. So probably that's interested. It's the fact of the build-up with ideas and concepts. I put all my heart and soul in the scripts with Marcus Philly.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote the Bud Light one, and I wrote every scene in that, and wrote every line. That was not, like, done on a whim. That was wrote completely from start to finish. And if you notice, like, anybody that's bored with this, but I think you'll find it interesting from an attention dynamic. Like, you're not given the answer to that reel until the reel, say, 50 seconds. You're not actually given the answer of why you use the beer until about 37 seconds in. You're talked about you don't see the beer being poured until like later, and the reason why. So like, I try to loop that round. I try to use a beer for entertainment. I talked about how it edited. So like, I put a lot of effort into them ones, probably more than my own because I knew they needed a ping, and that is probably one of my highest performing reels in weeks, if not months. That'll slowly grow. So that's probably one of the main reasons it started paying down here. And I just noticed that when my stories are really entertaining and different, then people watch them more. And then like, people don't think about this, especially when they're trying to grow their Instagram account. When you click onto somebody's page, you do watch their content, but you also click their story to see what the fuck's going on with them. So
Yeah.
when people click my story and you see all the mayhem, you see me running about in masks, you see me eating ice cream, you see me raking about in a quad, complaining, pumped up with tits, shouting, you're way more likely to be like, well, this cunt's different. This cunt's a wee bit out there. And then you're more engaged with me as a person. Whereas if you click on somebody's story and it's just pictures of their clients training or something, it's like boring. People are sick of that. But yeah, it's just it look, it's a business move. I have to be tactical with it. Like if I had my choice to go to Colombia and see the women or Brazil and see the women, because they apparently they're
That's
metal.
tough life, isn't it?
Tough life.
Tough,
But
tough.
if,
I like.
from a business
Do you go for a
perspective,
big booty or big boobies? You know, it's just so hard for you right now to go through that
it's terrible. But
choice.
there seems to be like if the women here are pretty fucking. This will lead on to the
Like.
next topic. This will lead on to the next topic. The women here are quite forward. Like I literally, obviously, I've landed, and like my like geographical position on the dating apps have all changed. But I haven't fucking used them, and like I haven't been on them like at
Yeah.
all. And I got two or three fucking pinging me Instagram DMs, and I was like, my Instagram's not attached to my dating thing. They like saw this, noticed, knew who you were, thought I'd slide in here instead.
Yeah.
All broken English, women from fucking people that are doing OnlyFans and all. I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Jesus Christ.
I was like, yous are too keen. Yous are too keen. I was like, I don't have Instagram on my dating app. You sort of semi knew. You found the page and then you
Yeah.
DM'd it. I was like, that is a bonkers. And then I was like, ooh, mummy. But this leads into the topic. Me and Daniel discussed this the last night on his podcast, and I want your take on it. And I think it's a good topic for us to dive in on. He done a reel on it when we were talking. We actually talked about it in depth, and I think this is a good topic for men. Do you need to be a dick to pull women? Like, where is the line? And before you give your take on it, what I said is I think a lot of people get misdirected because they're not being nice, they're being needy. There's a difference between being needy, nice, not nice, I don't like the word needy, a gentleman, a dick, right? And the reason I say this is because I think a lot of men, not that they are needy, but they come across as it whenever they were trying to be like more soft. So for example, instead of you, for example, making plans, right? So you make plans on a Friday night and you're like, right, let's do this on Friday night. And being a dick, you blow her off and you go, right, well, nah, it doesn't suit me. See you later. Or you love bomb her or you do the push pull method. So you meet her and then you lean out like fuck. So you get her emotional attachment. The needy person is like straight after the date, like feels the need to like text and feels the need to like, even if you're not saying anything, you're coming across like you're putting way too much in too fast. I think that's a turn off. And then the gentleman is like, for example, if you, I don't know what's best, say she has to get a taxi home, and in my opinion, if a lass getting a taxi home, maybe not after the first date, but like in general, it'd be good for you to go on that taxi ride as well, and then get the taxi man to drop you up. Just make sure she gets in. But a text of saying, "Did you get home right?" or "I'll ring you in 15. Just let me know you're okay, that you got in." And that's it. You hang up, and that's it. Done. That's caring for somebody's safety. That's maybe too much for most people. That for me seems all right. But then there's also like the where you're constantly almost texting. You're keeping conversations going for the sake of it. You're being like too nicey nice, and I think that comes across as they needy. And that's where like the men go, you can't win being Mr. Nice Guy. It's not being Mr. Nice Guy. You're actually coming across as like slightly desperate. Like, or and I think that's the line. Do you think you need to be a dick to pull a woman?
No, you definitely don't need to be a dick to pull a woman, but I think you
Think it
need.
helps?
I think it does. Well, I think the word dick could be wrong. I think you need to be a man to pull a woman. And I think too many men at the moment are. I know it's
Nice.
good. It's good to be in touch with your feminine side, but there draws a line where you still have to be the man. You still have to be the alpha in the relationship. You cannot be, you know,
You
You
need
can't.
masculine energy.
You need masculine energy, and I know it's nice to have a slight balance, and it's no, it is good to know, like, and to be in touch with your feminine side. But I think more and more people are going the opposite way because they're kind of trying to reverse engineer it and go, this is what women want. Women want a man who's a great communicator, and that is true. But you can be an alpha male and be a great communicator. Women want a man who understands their needs and understands and their wants. And yeah, you can be a fucking man and do that as well. But I think more and more, that you said the word like desperate. I think men are starting to get a wee bit desperate in the way that they'll change who they are and what they are to try to pull a female or to try to please a female rather than go, this is me, that is you. Are we compatible without changing who we are? I know there's always going to be times where you mold and you move along with someone to make a relationship better, but you can't change who you are and what you're about. But like I like me being with dating at the moment, like I can see more and more like there's girls with these big long lists of fucking this is what I'm looking box tick. There's fellas starting to do the same thing. You know, want this, want that, don't want this. And then that's their prerogative and that's up to them. You'll never be able to create your perfect man or your perfect woman.
Yeah, I think from a
But I
perspective
think
of
people want to do that, don't they? They want to create. They want you because they want you maybe for your looks and a bit of your thing, but they go also, I can carve him into a boyfriend.
Yeah, I think this is where this is a very interesting thing, and I'm probably going to get kickback about this, right? But I do believe that most people don't actually know what they really want or need. So, like for example, as you said there, I can carve him into X, right?
Yeah.
And say, for example, the man isn't emotional enough, and she starts to make him like bring out his feelings and this and that. The initial traits that that female found that male attractive can slightly die out. So, for example, she might want a man that's a little bit more in touch with his emotional side, but she might not be attracted to that. And then the
Yeah.
difference is, as the relationship moves, the attraction dies out, and they go, "Oh, the spark went out, or this went out," and they talk shit. But the problem is a case of that's because the man's masculine energy is slightly died off. Now, I'm going to get a lot of stick for that, and I think it's a case of I think most people don't know what to want, and that's why I don't turn around and go, I need a woman who's clean, and I need a woman who's beautiful, and I need a woman who's funny, and I need a woman who's ambitious, and all these traits. For me, it is just a vibe, energy, and who the person is, an individual. You don't have to bring anything but you to the table. And if that is, if it feels right and you're a good person, and that's probably it. Like deep down for me, that's probably the main thing. Like for me, I was talking about this yesterday on that one. I said, like for me, I think long-term partner traits, and I don't think like you have to be this. I think I'm going into the grave with you, ideally. You're going to be my next family. All I need to be able to do is one, trust you, and two, know that you've got my deep down, not just trust you, but you've got my best intentions. And it probably the third thing for me is, and this is probably the weirdest thing, is obviously you need to be attracted. That's a no-brainer. But for me, I need to be able to have a laugh at you, because like for me, that is like my number one thing in all areas of life. It's just like if you cover them three bases, like loyalty, we can have a laugh, and deep down, we've got our best intentions at each person at heart, no matter what. Then for me, that covers base, whereas the rest can all be filtered in. But as you said there, I think it's a case of men used to men did go that one side. I think most men do whenever you're younger. You like I would have done it as well. Me and Daniel were talking about this, and it was like, I don't know if you've ever done this, Mickey, but it's like the push pull method, and it's also like love bombing, it's called, and stuff where you completely overload the person at the start to an extent. And then as soon as you get any emotional attachment from them, you slightly pull away, and it makes them want you more, because people want what they can't have. I used to do this all the time when I was really young, right? Before my last relationship. And it's not a, it is a psychology tactic. It's for people who aren't
Yeah.
emotionally mature enough. That won't work with a real woman, because she'll go, I'm like, or it'll just not impact her. Whereas you'll notice the change in tone. Really good example is if you date a female, and this is where I was like, I'll get stick, and the date's unbelievable, and the build up to the date's perfect, and then it's really, really good, like really, really good, and maybe there's sexual chemistry, a kiss, sex, whatever, and then you go cold turkey immediately after that for 48 hours. The person's brain will go hotwired. It'll be like, what the fuck? And then when they get the text or whatever, it'll be a dopamine trigger. And then that puts you in the drive. And then people won't admit that, but that happens all the time. Now, the thing is, if that female is very, very emotionally developed or like doesn't
Yeah.
they'll not have time for that. And I think a lot of the time people are looking for what they're missing in their own life and others, and then that's where they lead it, or they don't realize these wee games go on without even people even realizing it. And I'm not saying it still does, but I'd say there still is men I know that do that. And then
yeah,
I don't think necessarily being a dick helps, but I think we were talking about like there's being a man, as you said, and I think that's where, like, for example, an attractive trait is where you set boundaries, even if it causes like friction. In the long run, a person's going to find that more attractive. Like, for me, I find it very attractive if a female's even like, Joe, say you're like, right, well, doing this, doing that. And she's like, well, I don't do that. Or this is like, that's just the way I operate. Like, I don't, like, for example, if somebody turns around to me and goes, right, well, like, let's stay up. And I'm like, I'm going to bed. It's 9 o'clock. Like, I'm up at 4:30. Whereas that sounds odd, but like, would you rather go with a man who's up chasing it, getting after it, stays by his word, does what he said, or the one who's sitting watching Netflix with you for an extra half an hour a night? Now, it's different if it's one off, but like, it's like, what do you actually find more attractive? Certain females will find one, certain females will find the other. I'm not saying dodge the personal connection, but I'm just saying when you set your boundaries, I think that comes across more man. And I think, as you said, I think too much feminine energy, although is good and sharing feelings. And I think the one thing I'd probably get the most kickback about is I think as a man, if you're dating a female or your partner's a female, I feel you should bring like any mental health, any emotional problems, any issues that don't need her attention to other males. I'm saying that from a long-term perspective. I've seen it happen time again, where men like break down emotionally in front of their wife or girlfriend. I'm not saying this in a sexist way. And then the attraction, the next problem they struggle with after that is the attraction. They're like, oh, it's just not the same. And I'm like, because I'm not saying she sees you in a different light, but it's like there's a lot of emotional. Whereas if you can get that solved elsewhere, you can still have the masculine energy in your relationship. Now, I'm not saying if your partner's all you got, don't bring it. But I've seen that before happen multiple times. And it's almost like a man's worst fear whenever they bring out emotion. And then the attraction dies off. Now, some women will find that extremely attractive, but you'll probably have an idea if your partner is like that, and they'll do it subconsciously. And remember that a lot of this is attraction is pretty much a subconscious trait. That's why people say the spark goes, or Joe, I just didn't feel right anymore. It's subconscious. Most people don't realize why they're even fucking attracted to somebody. Like, really good example is I find quite a, I wouldn't say masculine energy, but I find quite a confident, like
dominant.
I find quite, I don't get me wrong, I still like to be the masculine dominant person, but I do find a woman who isn't just like blasé, like has a bit of fucking spice to them and a bit of masculine energy.
Yeah, that'd be the same as me, like.
I find that quite attractive. And the funniest thing is, I'm not saying I'm a fucking mustache and a monobrow, but a case of, but you know, today's day and age, all for one and one for all. If you want a mustache, work well off. But a case of, I find it, but there's probably a subconscious reason that I like that. Say, for example, like my mom wears the boots in my mom and dad's relationship, and I see that as good. Or, for example, maybe I don't have the full mask. There's some subconscious reasons. And say, for example, I pump out loads of mascara, she dies off of that, and then I go, she dies off of hers. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know why I don't find her attractive. It's just so, that's the reason stuff like that happens. It's all subconscious, and we don't realize these layers. So then by building in these wee metrics, I think help. But I thought, I wanted your take on that. Like, as I like the idea of it be not a dick, but a man.
I'm at the minute I'm dating, well, I'm doing a lot of dating, a lot of first
dates. Ooh, boy.
And Nick.
Apply now.
You do apply now. Slide in the DMs. Only if you tick these boxes. Right.
I'll fill out a check and there's a big Google form.
But I've noticed like a lot of the people like I've dated over the last like say month and a half. They're all, and I don't mean this, and if any of them's listened to it, don't be giving me shit here. There's a lot of very needy females at the moment because I feel they're getting put under so much pressure to settle down by society. And
what age are these females? All over 30, just over 30?
Say from 29 to 36.
That is peak age.
But they're getting to a point where their friend, like even talking to them, like their friends are putting pressure on them, their mother's putting pressure on them, like their work colleagues are putting pressure on them, and they're talking like they'd be telling me about dating disasters. and saying like, oh, I went on 5 dates with this guy and I knew like those red flags from the first one. And like they're all like every single girl I've dated, lovely person. Like they're all very nice people. And so one absolute mental bitch from Donegal. She won't be listening to this, but she's fucking clean mad. But very funny. But yet there was like they're just kind of going, and then they're kind of talking to me, and you see they're like they're realizing in their head going, I'm actually pushing this too hard to like find a man. And I was nearly like getting quite happy settling for a guy who was firing up red flags every fucking date. And I've been finding like stuff like that. But then I've also been finding girls a lot of some of the girls have actually they know exactly what they want, which is brilliant and it's refreshing. But also that cloud is coming in where I know what I want, but my time is running here and I mightn't get all the boxes ticked. So I'll just do a few ticks and I'll probably be able to like sort his red flags out. And I've noticed a lot of that lately. But you know
Think, do you think as well, most people think they know what they want, but deep down, like they're asking for not too much, but like they're asking for like a fully complete individual when most of us aren't complete ourselves. That's like me asking for somebody who's into the gym, somebody who's running a really good business, somebody who also can switch off completely, but somebody also that's really funny, and then somebody else that's really neat and clean and is involved with their family. Like you know, there's I think like a lot of people don't realize like. You know, we're not perfect either. Like that's why I don't really, whenever I'm dating, like, I go in with no matter whatever way I feel, like, I'm just like, right, well, if the person makes me laugh, then like, I'm not asking for a big list.
Yeah.
But if
Well, it
you
was
bring so much to the relationship, then you shouldn't need somebody to make you laugh, maybe, but a case of,
Well,
it's good to want stuff, but you know where I'm coming from? It's like,
where do you come from and say like if a girl like I'm all for someone going, right, I want someone who's ambitious, I want someone this, but do you think there should be they should match that?
depends on the trade. Like for me, I think you have to bring something to the table. So a really good example of this is a gold digger and an old man. The gold digger brings looks, beauty, youth, and probably a laugh, and the old man brings money and security. And they that should never work, but sometimes that works in a relationship now because they fill each other's needs. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but it's a really extreme example. So for me, like I think sometimes I used to turn around and be like, I used to hear girls always say, or women say, I want a man that's ambitious and chasing, but then they don't want the downsides to that, which is like he's going to be gone more. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. And then also, it's this thing of like men would turn around and say, "Well, if I'm bringing home all the money, what are you bringing?" Like she needs to be ambitious. There's different sides to each coin. So for me, it really depends on what you need to look at. In my opinion, with a dating relationship, is actually what you bring to the table, and that's not a cocky thing. It's like what you bring to the table that's good, but what do you bring to the table that's also shit? And then it allows you. That's once you're in the door. Don't do that whenever you're out dating because it'll affect your confidence and stuff. But it's also just realizing like the first imperfection a lot of people jump, or the first red flag. Like I think obviously there is red flags, but a lot of the time like we're all gonna have these. Especially I'm it now, like you're obviously dating women in 30. Like most people have been through half a life. Like they're gonna have scars, they're gonna have battle wounds. And obviously you don't want to drag that all in a relationship, but it's very, very difficult not to. And people don't realize it. That's one of the reasons like I took the year out from it. Like I remember like Joe, the person I used to go with, is with somebody else. And it's one of the things where like I couldn't have done that because I was like, I haven't fully even maybe on the outside, I felt like I was through everything. I was like, there's probably going to be subconscious drivers where you see it all the time where people go with a person like this and then they go with the exact opposite. And I was very nervous about doing something like that, or very conscious that like if you don't let things settle and let things sit and be completely okay with yourself, you see people hop relationship to relationship. You see people hop from one relationship where it's all this to the exact opposite, and they go, that's exactly what I want because the last person's like that. Whereas you probably want something in the middle. But when you move too fast, for me, and this is not me saying about anyone, it's just a case of you need to be okay alone. Like you should be okay for the rest of your life alone, and then a person adds the quality to it. If you feel you need a person, then that's the wrong decision because you're gonna take whatever you can get. And it's a really good example. It's like if you come out of a relationship or you go on a couple of dates, realistically, there's how many people in the world? You haven't really gave yourself options. That's like looking at three, like say you're in a strip and there's 4,000 restaurants. I'm not saying go to every restaurant, but if you stop at the very first one and they go, yeah, I'll take you, I've got a seat, or the second one, you haven't really done any due diligence. Do you know what I mean? You haven't, you've sort of just went, fuck, this one's going to take me, that'll do. And for me, a lot of people will fucking hate that, but like, you can be brutally honest, a lot of people do just jump. And I was conscious of that because I think emotionally, whenever you come out of one, two, or you've been scarred or you've been hurt or anything, you will want that void filled. So then that's the reason I didn't go on dates, because I was like, anybody that gives me attention or too much or knows, that's why I kept it all DL, because I was like, the minute it gets out, I don't care what anyone says. Like, and this is not me being blunt, I said to you before, like with the following, with doing okay for myself, you get people sliding in straight away. Like the minute I people started finding out, like it was like fucking, it was a bit of an onslaught, like, and then it was too much. And it was one of the things where I was like, thank fuck this didn't happen initially, because Joe, you can jump straight away, and then I'm much more settled now. So give me that time to sort of just like sort my head out. And for me, I just find it interesting from a dating perspective, because it's one of these things that there's no right or wrong. I feel like as well, one thing we touched on was, I feel like there's not a whole lot of men, and I'm like this too. Like, don't get me wrong, but I think one of the main issues is the rejection side of things. And I said to Daniel on the podcast yesterday, I think one of the main reasons that most men are so fragile and will take whatever they can get, and the same for females, is because they're not used to rejection, and their confidence isn't really confidence because it's so fragile. Like, if I asked you right now, the next beautiful woman or man you see, to go up and just ask them to go out with you on a date, very, very small talk, have a small bit of flirting and ask, could you do that and it not even faze you? Or one, would you be nervous? But two, would you be so badly impacted when they tell you no, that your self-worth is rocked? See, if it is, that is a trigger sign that your self-worth is validated off somebody else. And that is not a good situation. Like, I could literally walk outside and ask, and it's not one of these things that's natural. You have to build that in by reps. And yes, that gets uncomfortable. But when you think about that, if that's how much that would rock you, that's how much you care about what people think about you. Somebody you don't even know. Like, you'd be on holidays and do this. And if you can't do that, you need to remember, like, you're never going to see this person again. It's never going to affect you. But that rejection is going to knock you that much. Like, that's ridiculous. That person could be in a relationship. They could be married. They could be just out of one, or Joe, whatever. But you let their internal affect you on any given day, it could be different. But it's interesting because that's one of the main things that men and women don't do enough of. And then they're not confident enough. And then they're also so fragile. And I think that impacts them, the level of partner you can actually have, because your skill acquisition on that level is far lower.
Yeah, no, that is a big thing too, about the fear of rejection and fear of, there's not the fear of people put themselves out there because they may be rejected because of maybe a past hurt or something they've never dealt with before. There is, like, that's a very important thing that you said about, if you attach your self-worth to someone else's opinion, you're losing battle, because as we always say, opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one. And the reason the world's such a fucking dynamic place is because everybody's opinion is different. Just because you, like, I say it in music all the time, people are like, oh, like, what would you do if your song didn't do well? And I'm like, that's okay, because not everybody's going to like every song. It's just like, not everybody likes every flavor of every food. Not everybody will fancy you. Not everybody will think you're funny. Not everybody will think, not everybody will follow you on Instagram. It's one of those things. But like, I think people attach a massive, like, emotional attachment to it when it comes to looks and it comes to stuff like that, because they're like, how dare you, or how dare you turn this person down, or how dare you do this, or how dare you do that, or how dare you not text back. But there's a thing that would tell me that maybe you need a bit of work on yourself before you move on and start dating other people. Like, one of the girls I went on a date with, she was quite a nice girl, like, and we were talking, and she was like, oh, so what is your, like, main thing? Like, she goes, I don't want boxes, I don't want all the boxes. She goes, what's your main thing? And I said, my main thing is I want to add someone to my life that's going to make my life better, and that I can somehow make their life better. I don't want somebody who's going to detract from my life and add negatives in it, because I've worked hard to keep things positive. But I also I don't want to go join someone else's life to be a passenger either. And I was like, I would never expect a female to be a passenger in my life, and I would never expect to be a passenger in theirs, because that's one of the things that keeps, and fair play to all the girls for doing this. Every girl that I like match with, whatever, on an app or talk to, is like, oh, do you, they always say, do you work every weekend? Do you work all weekends? And I was like, no, not all weekends. She goes, so where would I fit in? And I all the time, I'll be straight up, like literally straight up to the fucking point where it's like, right, that's too much information. And I'll say, oh,
Yeah, but that's
I.
because you're, yeah, you know, that makes sense
So
though,
I will go
considering.
like, oh, I work 45% weekends now, and most of my stuff's midweek. They're like, right, cool. I was like, so I every second weekend we can go away.
Yeah,
If
or
or
you
we can
can
do, no,
gift or whatever you need.
we could do, like, but technically, Isaac, if you, because all everybody's mad for fucking road trips now, mad for going up mountains, mad for going for walks. I was like, every second weekend we can go away and do something. That's the but I go, when I'm working, I'm working. If a tour comes up, I'm tour comes up. But I was like, but I say, you know, fair play for asking that, because that's important to them.
Straightforward question. I think
Straightforward
that's
question,
the.
but it's the same as like, and I was like, this is the same. And the mad thing is, I'd be like, so one of the girls I was dating was a doctor, and I was like, do you work like 9 to 5, or are you like, oh, like doctors under pressure? She's like, oh, doctor under pressure. And I was like, so the mad reality is, you asked me that question, but you couldn't answer that back. And she was like, oh, fuck no. She goes like, no. She goes,
Yeah, double standards.
I no, but no, she was like, oh, I wanted you to ask me this back. But she was like, she'd go to work on a Thursday and expect to get off at 10 p.m. on a Thursday night, and she may still be on shift this Saturday non-stop. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, so it's very fucking hard for me. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a fucking nightmare. But
Yeah, it's interesting.
I actually like when a girl like will ask them questions rather than get down the line 4 or 5 dates or maybe a couple of months or whatever, and then go, oh, I wasn't expecting this. No, wasn't expecting it. I kind of wanted this, I kind of wanted that. And I'd be straight up, I says, early mornings after a gig's gonna be an issue. I was like, because I'm not home. Like last night, I was home at 4 a.m. from Derry. I haven't been home in my own bed only 2 nights. So I was away to Cork and Kilkenny over the weekend. And I would say to people, you know, there is going to be times where that happens. There's going to be times for months on end that that doesn't happen. And I'm enjoying dating. Like, don't get me wrong. I really do enjoy dating, but also, I'm not going to be the one, as I said earlier, to jump into something because I'm like, fuck, time is running out here. I'll never do that,
No.
because that's just like, I've done that. I haven't done that for that reason before, but I've jumped from relation, as Tony said, I've jumped from relationship to relationship a few times, and well, voila, it's never worked out, but I've had fun doing it. But I'm at the time now where you have to be a wee bit more mature and go, right, you know, the fucking fun's kind of, the fun's had, and I've had a lot of it. It's time to go, right, as I said, who's going to add to my life? Who can I add to their life? You know, I've got quite a nice life, and I want someone to join me on that life now. And the joy of, same as just Tony yourself, like, I could be based anywhere. At the moment, I have to be based nomad, but in the next few months, I can be based anywhere again. So, you know, time to have like a good talk to myself and see, do I want to actually settle down like fully? I know I want a date, but is it time to fully like commit to settling down, or am I getting into that the vicious circle of dating, which is an issue, which I never really thought about until I realized I was down to about, I was on about 8 or 9 first dates, couple of second dates, and I was like, Jesus, I could be in this vicious cycle of just dating girls. And maybe I like the dating, the actual dates and the first dates. I know I made a joke a few times saying I love first dates, but that was like was actually a knock on myself. But am I getting into that cycle where I'm like, I love a good first date, but then I don't want a second or third because I just love dating. So I need to have a word to myself and see if that's what I want, and where I'm at in life with busyness. Because, you know, the other thing is too, Tony will know this from traveling. If Tony met someone back home, it'd be tough to keep dating if he was do because he's traveling. He likes his traveling, and he's at that point where he wants to do that. Whereas I may encounter that again or whatever I want to do. So yeah, if it was easy, I'd say everybody would be in, you know, if it was easy, it wouldn't be no fun, like.
It's one of the things where for me, like I think it's interesting. It's a very multi-dimensional topic, and there's so many, because it's two people's personalities, their fears, their wants, their desires, their sexual attraction. There's just, it's every part of you is getting meshed in another individual, and it's just very interesting for me to see,
Are
and
you
see and
or what?
experience.
So you're on apps out in,
Well, I haven't been on them, but obviously
but
my
you have,
geographical
you have them.
position.
Are you on
Haven't
the
been.
are you on the one with the blue tech people?
I haven't really been using them at all, to be honest. I went on then because I was like, have I matched? Because I immediately when I got messaged with data, I was like, fuck, I'm gonna go on these. I was like, I haven't been on these, and I haven't been on them in ages. And then I was like, fuck, I was like, no, how? And I was like, no, nothing's matched there. And I was like, so they've just seen me and then messaged me or found me somehow. I don't know, or a tag or something, or if they're talking shit. And
Raya,
I,
are you on Raya?
no, I wonder. I haven't been on it.
I need you to go on Raya.
I don't know if I would be allowed.
I know
Not
you
really.
did 100%.
I'm
You
not a
would.
real
No, you
fucking.
would, because there's a fucking person from Belfast on it, and you're way bigger stature.
Well, that'll be interesting to see. Well, the page is growing rightly now. I'm at 6'27" as of today on
I
Instagram.
need you to get a celebrity girlfriend, Tony. I can have some fun. I know, because
Ah,
I get a wee bit of money. Go to the papers. Go, here's the real
you'll
Tony.
tout.
Me and Dargan will tout. We'll do an expose.
We'll see how it go here. Well, there's talks of, I'm not saying anything, but I did get contacted by somebody about doing a like a TV show in the States. So there'll be more chance of me getting on that maybe if I get away with that.
We're too hot to handle. Is the
No,
belt.
it's not reality telly. It's actually like a full-on TV show, which is fucking metal, but
Jesus Christ.
which is hilarious. So it'd be on the likes of like an Amazon Prime or a Netflix. It'd be on like that there
You'll be like
rather than like.
another Conor McGregor in Roadhouse.
But it'll not be a reality telly show, because I've got asked to do Too Hot to Handle. I got asked to do Too Hot to Handle the first season it came out, and the following one, I got asked to do Take Me Out about 50 times. I've been messaged about Love Island. I've been messaged about a couple others as well. Too Hot to Handle was quite keen. They were really keen. They were talking about like. That I'd be like the perfect personality for it because of the way I go on and all. And I was like, this would be, I was like, there's like my cock's actually out on telly. I was like, I don't know if there's any comeback from that. Like, if I'm correct, that's the one they're naked, isn't it? No.
No, too hot to.
Oh, sorry. I got asked to do one on Netflix where, or Netflix or, I got Too Hot to Handle. Definitely get asked. I got
Oh,
asked to
you
do
got
the one, there's a name.
naked attraction.
I got that as well. But I got one where it was a dating show where the people are on an island and it's like, Love Island, but yous are naked the entire time.
Oh, I don't know what. Maybe I don't know if that's too hot to handle. Maybe I can get mixed up. There's one where
That's a
you
different
can't.
show. There is
There's
a that's a
one
show,
where you're not
and
allowed to touch other people. Like, you're not allowed to kiss them or anything. And every time
that's
you do, you lose money.
I got asked to do that as well. And I got asked to do the one that I remember distinctly was the fact that they asked me to do it, and like you're naked the entire time, like you're not clothed at all. And I goes, obviously, I just replied out of curiosity. He goes, obviously, it's like blurred, and they were like, "Art, it not necessarily." And I was like, "What the fuck is this show?" I was like, "I'm going to the browser house for fuck's sake."
That'll be a tough one, like.
Well, what happens whenever fucking Joe? You know, it's been 3 weeks, Joe. You haven't pulled, and you're getting fucking jammy to hard on, fucking left, right, and center, and it's fucking on fucking MTV, fucking forever.
Or
That's not
you're
good. Like,
or you, they make your dick into a meme for the rest of your
oh,
life.
mate, don't talk about it. This is disaster.
But
Right.
that'll be what say if like if someone is would you like. Say if you were more settled back home, and you weren't traveling, watching Love Island came up there and go, right, would I love you to come on Love Island? Would that be the one? Would that be the
I
one
don't
you
know.
would give the most thought
I
for,
don't know. Love Island's had a chat with me
or would you
about it
rather
before.
go abroad and do one like America or something?
I think you have to be so careful because I just feel like for where I am now, I don't see how it would help me.
Yeah.
I think it could really make me, don't get me wrong, it can make people fall completely in love with you, but I
You make
think
people
from
fucking despise you for no reason as well.
Yeah, I think people go, fuck me, Joe. I like to me supporting this. It's very, very scripted. Like, from what I've heard, like, the producer's in the place with you. He tells you, you're going over to talk to that person. You're going to do this. They're in a relationship. Now you find this person. So it's very, very scripted. And I feel like it's almost past its peak. But on top of that, I also feel like I don't, with essentially, I feel like a lot of people go on that show. And the main reason you're going on
They
is
need
for the
it.
following.
They need
And
stuff.
you need something to build. Versus, I actually think it would hurt my engagement. It would hurt my if it'd be interesting to see, because I assume, because how big the engagement is, like, that's the one thing I'm really proud of about my page is loads of people have similar followings. I don't know many that have as many comments per video, DMs, engagement. So, like, I'm assuming I would actually get quite a large amount tuning in, and don't get me wrong, voting and stuff, but like, it'd be, you know what, if I could make a comedy and I could go for it, it'd be a laugh. But I just don't think reality telly is a smart business move long term.
No.
I feel like after it, you've got a bit of a seat, like, you've got a expiry date after it, unless you do, like, Molly Mae is different and Tommy, but, like,
Well, I think that's
there are
why he, yeah.
abnormalities.
But I think that's why Love Island's never peaked since, because they completed it. They are the
Yeah.
goats. Like, nobody's going to ever do what Molly Mae's done, I don't think, in reality TV at all, because you're all going to be based off her success. And I think everybody's going to go, oh, well.
Yeah,
But like, is
it's
anybody
definitely
on
one
the
of them
last? I
peaks.
never watched the last season, but is there any person on the last season of Love Island still even like doing anything?
That's why I don't think I would do it. Whereas I got asked to do tea, and I was like, what is this? And then they were breaking it down to me, and we had a call, and I was like, do you know what? This is actually this TV show would be absolutely hilarious. And I was like, and it's good, it's entertaining. I said, it's a wee bit different for me. There's multiple ideas. It's not sanctioned. It's not, like, fully green lit, and we have to go back and forth. But I was like, this seems really good. And I was like, and this isn't reality telly. Like, this is actually, like, full on, like, a series, and it would be good, and it would be different. And it's not just me. There's other people that are, I would be like, holy fuck, I've known that actor. And I was like, this is actually insane that I'm even having a conversation. I haven't even getting considered in this realm. And it was interesting, because, like, I've had the calls and stuff, and it's not like guaranteed or anything. You know how things like that work. But a
Oh,
case
I.
of to be considered in that sense is, for me, more of the long lines. As soon as you go, oh, I might have a chance to get into, people automatically think, oh, reality telly. Whereas if you can break into that scene where there's actually, like, normal TV series, all it takes is a couple of funny clips, a good episode or two, and it bangs. Like, people don't remember, like, Joe, obviously Will Smith done, like, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, was a rapper before that, but, like, you don't really remember that. You just think movie star now. So it's one of the things of, you don't know where you're gonna be. But if somebody asked me, like, would I ever end up on that? I don't know. I've had one or two people talk to me about presenting as well, but I am vulgar and it's all live, so I don't know.
But see, that's the thing, because of your style of content, then if you've done something that's semi-wholesome, people will go, but here's the real Tony. And then you're like, one of your kind of
Also,
videos.
if I say something, like, I am quite fucking crude and stuff, like, and I swear quite a lot, and you can't beat me out and thing. But yeah, no, just it'll be interesting to see how things go. But from a business perspective, from a dating perspective, that's been a decent podcast. Hopefully you've got a ton of value from that. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Mickey. Just, like, sharing your story. We really do appreciate
Like,
your
sharing your
shares.
story, and if you know any single girls, give me a shout.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We
Well,
only
yeah.
have we only have we have six people, six females listen to this podcast, and they're all married. And I think they listen to it because
There you
their
go.
husbands listen to it. So if you know, if he's any single
Any
friends,
advice from yous to us on dating, or anything we
yeah.
got wrong from to the female listeners, please chip in. We would like a female opinion. And apart from that, look,
Hit
have
us up.
a.
Hit us up with ideas that characters that Tony could play. If
Oh,
Tony was to
God.
take someone's place in a movie, who could he play?
Oh, fuck me. And then,
AGA
jeez.
Joe.
Oh, no chance. G.A. Joe fucking shrink wrapped. Right, we'll call it there. We'll come back next week. We'll maybe dive into something on a deeper topic about relationships. But I quite like that dating style. I think even bringing them ideas to your married relationship as dates and stuff is well worthwhile. But look, we'll leave it there. Big love, like, share, subscribe, do the work, and we'll see you in the next one.
Good
Boom.
luck. Bye-bye. Cheers, lad. Is your mic off?